living with seven different women in seven different cities? Understand something, folks. God has told us very clearly that a man is supposed to be there when the wife is in her childbearing time, because she is saved by the relationship between a husband and a wife. Adam and Eve, he said, listen, I'm going to multiply your sorrow and your conception, and your husband will rule over you. That doesn't mean he's going to be the boss and he snaps his fingers and you bring him the paper and his slippers when he comes home. He is going to be there to protect you in your place of vulnerability. When you choose motherhood, you are choosing to put your entire being on hold to raise a child. You are vulnerable. God puts a human male in that position to take up the protector role. When you don't do that, we've got situations. And my wife was just talking about the testimonies from House of Hope and all those young ladies who were raised by a single mom. And guys, whether they want to listen to it or not, you know, one of the biggest issues in the black community right now and why things are this, and you get people who have actually looked at this, is because there are single mothers raising children. When the father figure is not taking his role in an act, when there's a mother, it is going to turn out badly. All through the Bible, from Genesis chapter 3 to Leviticus chapter 12 to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 to Timothy, God is reminding us that the husband and wife role is absolutely crucial in a successful family. We have a bunch of men who are a bunch of wusses who bail out, who think sex is all they were in it for, and okay, there's a baby, that's great, I'm going to have a kid, but never take their role up, and they just are the baby daddy. And they have no responsibility for the life that they have just helped to create. And they leave the poor woman, who by God's own admission is in a vulnerable state when she is with child. And we wonder why our culture, our communities are falling apart. Because yes, motherhood is the greatest gift that God has given any human being, but it comes with a price. And God has set up the family as a way of protection. Much of the struggles in our communities stem from that problem. Said. Back to Leviticus, and we'll be done. Leviticus chapter 12. And I never did answer the question of why is it twice as long for girls and not boys? I really don't know. I've only heard one opinion that I lead to believe. The scripture does not give any clarity. The only thing that comes into mind that I heard presented by a student that was looking at this is that the separation and the concern and the difference between the two is because when a baby girl is born, she again will be one that is vulnerable. You are bearing a child bearer. So that the separation is twice as much. Again, please, some people read this and say, well, the separation is this punishment of God. It's not. God is trying to remind us, again, that the goal is purification. We want to separate ourselves from that which is unclean, and we want to be pure. Okay, that's the only thing I can see that there's a difference, is because when you're bringing forth a male, okay, the male is in that position. When you're bringing forth a female, she's in that position, so you're going to be doubly sure. Okay? That's, again, you want to study it with me? Dig in and come back with an idea. I'll entertain it. But some things God doesn't give us some understanding of. But we know for a fact that God has made a woman in a place of vulnerability, in a place of struggle and toil and hardship when it comes to childbearing. All right? Notice at the very end of this, blood sacrifice is needed to deal with purifying. And again, that is what this rolls back to every time. Whether it be a male or a female, whether it be a baby girl or a baby boy, the mom had to bring a burnt offering and a sin offering to the priest to be presented for atonement, to deal with her sin. Well, what sin? The sin of the fact that she touched a dead body. Okay, again, there is absolutely nothing impure about childbirth. There's nothing impure about having children. God just pictures the fact that if you are bringing forth a baby and you've touched the dead flesh, and again, if you want to review, go back a couple of weeks. I'm not going to re-preach the whole thing. But for her purifying, she needed to offer sacrifice. Now, folks, if this doesn't scream out to you by now through the book of Leviticus, I think we're hopeless. The only way you and I are going to be purified is by the sacrifice that sheds blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And who was the sacrifice that deals with the entire world's sin? Jesus Christ. God uses all these little pictures, whether it's turtle doves or pigeons or lambs or anything else in his word, to picture in the future that there is one that would come and offer the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Well, to be purified from the issue of her blood, she needed to offer a sacrifice. Burnt and sin. And again, even at the last verse, God gives a qualification. If you're not a rich folk and you can't afford a lamb, you can just bring turtle doves. God makes a way for everyone to have access. But the key is to deal with sin, blood must be shed. Now, I'll talk this one more thing, guys. And again, not the easiest thing for me to mention, but ladies, once a month, something occurs in your body. I told you I didn't want to mention it. I don't know nothing about it. I never experienced it. Tough for a male human being to make reference to this because it's something that we're told we can have no opinion on, but the Bible does. Every single month, God is putting a vivid reminder that blood must be shed for a birth. So again, ladies, as much as I said last week, circumcision, that is a vivid image that every time a human male takes a gander at his specific parts, he's reminded what that means. Ladies, every month when that occurs, you are reminded God is a picture book God. He doesn't just tell us something in writing and those who haven't picked it up and read it and understood it. He gives you a reminder every single month during your childbearing years that blood must be shed because we are in sin. Please understand that. Now, have you had your sins dealt with? Honestly, I know most of you and most of our testimonies, but every one of us are born in sin. And unfortunately, there's only one way sin can be dealt with. And I can't do it. You can't do it. It's not by the blood of bulls and goats or circumcision, because we read last week that circumcision was made without hands, that God himself has to do the act. Well, there is one, the God-man, Jesus Christ himself, who came and shed his blood. All these pictures, and guys, you cannot read through the Old Testament without seeing blood. It is a bloody place. There are hundreds of thousands of animals killed on the altar. There are men shedding blood, women shedding blood, blood everywhere in the Bible. Why? Because God's glory? No, because God wants us to understand that blood is absolutely essential. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed to redeem us from our sins. If you haven't come to that realization today, please do. If you are struggling in this world with the understanding of the fact that God made us different, that there are men and women in this world and God has given them specific roles. And those roles aren't because a male is the guy who is the boss and he makes all the money and the woman spends all the time in the kitchen cooking the meals. Silliness. This absolutely. that men are the ones who are supposed to work outside and the women are supposed to work inside. And that's their responsibility. Read Proverbs chapter 31. That is absolutely not what it says. There is no more value in a man than a woman, but there are differences. And God has made them absolutely clear. And each of our lives are a vivid picture of what God wants to do to relieve people of their sin, to make them new, to give them a new birth, to deal with their sin and their dead flesh. And if we fuzzy or muddy the waters between men and women, we completely lose the picture. That is why, guys, why is it so important that you and I get married? Why? Because we just can't possibly love each other unless we have a ring on our finger? Unless there's a document in town hall that says we're hooked up? No. Marriage is designed because it pictures Christ's relationship with his believers. Period. Well, we've just living together for 20 years. Well, that's great. But you are losing the picture that God's designed. God, our Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, and we are his bride, and he is waiting to come and take us to a marriage supper of the Lamb in a unity, in a bond that will never end, that will last forever. Please, guys, this is amazing. The things that God has asked us to do, man, I'm going to hook up and got the old ball and chain. I've been imprisoned here in this marriage for the rest of my life. Shame on you. Because my husband, what? I'm the bride. I'm a believer. My husband, Jesus Christ, someday is coming to get me. And he will take me home to our mansion. And we'll have a wedding reception like you've never believed. And that relationship will last forever. And believe me, it's no ball and chain. It is something beautiful that God has. You understand how many pictures God has allowed in our lives? Please, don't ever second guess and think that, oh, the word of God is misogynistic and it's not a female. It was written by males, so it's all a male center. That's people who don't understand God's word. He has given us different roles, and every one of them picture the spiritual truth that he wants us to understand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you so much that over and over and over you remind us that you shed your precious blood to deliver us from this sinful flesh. Father, that there was a problem with our birth. We are by nature sinners. And we got a problem. It needs to get dealt with. And Father, whether it's a circumcision or childbearing, whether it's a monthly issue, Lord, you continuously remind us that the shedding of blood is how we deal with our old birth and how we guarantee that brand new birth. Father, thank you so much for being a vivid God who paints us amazing pictures. And so, Father, in this world, we know the biggest issue. It's not guns, it's not riots, it's not politics. The biggest issue is that people are not turning their lives over to Christ and becoming what God wants them to be. And so, Father, we have an opportunity to go out and share your truth, to make somebody's life different because of Jesus. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us through this passage of Scripture. Not the easiest one, but, Father, if it can help us to understand that we each have a place that is not random. We're not roll of the dice, Father. You've given us these bodies, these genders, these sexes, these roles, because of biblical truth. And the moment we start messing with it, the moment we start having all kinds of issues. So, Father, thank you for your truth. Bless us now. Again, Lord, we are so grateful on a day like today, talking this subject on Mother's Day. Father, there is no more precious gift. Adam named his wife woman, called her that, because she would be the mother of all living. You did something amazing when you made a woman. Father, thank you in Jesus' name.